Welcome to the Savvy Scribe podcast. I am so glad you're here. Before we start the show, if you're interested, we have a free Facebook group called Savvy Nurse Writer Community. I appreciate you following and listening to me today, and I would love if you would subscribe via iTunes. And if you love our show, can I ask you for a review? Select ratings and reviews and write a review. It's that simple. I would love to read your review, and it helps other nurses like you find our podcast. Thanks so much.
Whatever, we can say, great, have you got someone who can take care of that? They might have a VA, they might have a person in the business, they might do it themselves, they might love the tech, they hate the writing, they might have an advisor they already work with. If not, you can say, it's cool, I can hook you up with John. John's really good at ActiveCampaign. We don't make a commission, I can make you an introduction, he can sort it all out for you. So if you can just be helpful, that's cool. But personally, we don't touch the tech at all.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you there. I don't blame you there. All right. So, if we have some freelance writing clients, I kind of told you guys at the beginning, like who we kind of serve and our audiences and whatnot. How can we start introducing this service to our clients if we're just writing blog posts right now?
I think one of the best things you can do is to start doing this for your own business. Like, if, I think the minute you start to tell people, by the way, I'm starting this cool free newsletter thing, and I think you'll really like it. I think you should come out. I think like when it comes to doing work for people, services like writing and stuff, there's really two ways to go about it. One of them is you go out and prospect. So like you go out and you say, right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go on LinkedIn. I'm going to identify loads of my target audience. I'm going to find them. I'm going to connect with them. I'm going to do this clever thing that's going to ingratiate me with them. Then I'm going to DM them and I'm going to sell them and all the rest of it. And basically you go, there's a potential client. I'll go after them. There's another one. You go after them and you might get to 200 and those 200 might turn into two clients. And that's that. That's one way of doing it. The other way of doing it is to become a sort of presence on the internet, grow an audience that can, with small amounts of work, grow to be hundreds or thousands of people, and you continue to turn up to them until they come to you. And it changes the positioning quite a lot. So with our agency, we don't go and prospect at all. There's a thing on our website that says, if you're interested, click here. You have to apply to work with us, which means filling out a long form, which means anyone who gets that far is definitely interested. They've got to answer loads of questions. We turn a lot of people away, not because they're not good enough, just because it's not the perfect fit for us. And we only have capacity to work with handfuls of clients, as you will. And so what we really look to do is to make sure that we change the positioning so that people come to us and say, how can I work with you, rather than us having to go to them. And I think one of the biggest things, the reason our agency exists isn't because we wanted to have an agency. It's because we were just doing great email marketing and people came to us and said, could you just do it for me? And we said no, and then somebody else asked, and we said no, and then somebody else asked. And there's only so many times you can say no before you have to sit back and say, well, could we? Like, loads of people are asking us this every year. Could we do this? And so I think one of the big things for us would be, and it also helps you, it cuts out a lot of the stuff. Loads of people have hired our agency, not because they wanted somebody else to do their email marketing, but because they wanted Robin Kennedy to do their email. They were reading our emails going, oh, I wish these guys were writing my emails. Now, not that we do the writing in our agency, our writers do, but they wanted our stuff. They wanted our frameworks. And so I think one of the things you could and should start doing immediately is, if you haven't already, start building your own list. Stick a thing on all of your social media about your writing services saying, come and get tips about content and marketing writing, and you'll learn all this stuff. You get to share the stuff you know. They get to see what it would be like, you know, to see how good your emails are. You genuinely get good at it. You have to, because you're sending out emails every day. And you can literally prove, you can prove how good your emails are in advance. Now, that's a slightly longer-winded way to go about it, but that's okay, because you're already writing content and getting clients and stuff with what you're currently doing. So I'm asking you to build this onto your business and grow it over time. That's going to get you much better results than right now going out and actively prospecting to try and get new clients, and potentially having lower conversions, potentially not quite being as good as you could be once you've done it for yourself for a little while, you know, because this is a new service for most people, I guess. And so I think that's the attitude that I would take. So continue doing what you're doing for now. Start to bolt this on by doing it first for yourself. Let people see what that can mean and then let them come to you for it.
And another thing you can do is when you're already pitching to do your blog writing services, you can show a little bit of marketing knowledge by saying, cool, how are you, when I write your blog for you, how are you turning these blog readers into prospects? Like, will you own that data? When someone joins you, comes to your blog and reads, do they just leave? Well, if they do, why don't we put something on there to let people join your email list? And great news is you don't have to spend the time writing those emails. I can take care of that for you. And I can actually turn, you could say, I can turn blog readers into customers. Now, the method, the vehicle that's going to get you there is the email marketing that goes in the middle. Suddenly these people, their ears prick up and go, okay, now it's not just about being found from my blog, from my thought leadership, from my SEO and all the things that you do, but it's about a proactive marketing thing where they own the data. And this is a really important thing to business owners, right? Is we want to know that we own the data. So if Google changes its algorithm or someone leaves our website or when I'm posting my stuff on LinkedIn or on my Instagram or whatever, I don't own the subscribers to that. Whereas if someone joins my email list, I can see the actual human beings. I can see their name. I can see their email address. They're real people. And heck, worst comes to the worst, if I fall out and have a Barney with my email marketing provider. Let's say we send an email out because we use Keep for our email marketing. If we had a Barney with Keep and they said, guys, get out. We could download all the data of our email subscribers and go jogging over to ActiveCampaign and upload it. And we still have a business and our subscribers wouldn't even know because they're still hearing from Robin Kennedy. Whereas if you get banned and blocked or shut down or put in Facebook jail or shut down your Instagram accounts, which is happening every day to people who are apparently doing nothing wrong, because it's an algorithm that does it. It makes mistakes. You can't go into Instagram, download the information and upload it to your MySpace. It doesn't work like that. Email does. That's a valuable asset to a business, having that data. So that's the next bit you can definitely do.
I like that because, you know, if you guys already have clients, like this is a great way to upsell, you know, another benefit for them in the sense of we can, like, what are you doing with this content that I'm writing? There's no reason to just leave it on this blog.
And it's a two-directional relationship. So if somebody comes in and wants blog content writing, you can sell them and offer your email services. If they come in for your email services, you can tell them about your blog writing services. The good news is if you use the techniques we've been sharing about today, you're using the same skills. You're just writing really good content that's actually valuable, and that's what makes people buy.
And that's why, you guys, if you're not sure like what you want to do forever and ever as a content writer, just call yourself a content writer. You could write a lot of different things, and blogs might be one of them. Email marketing might be one of them, whatever that might look like for you.
Yeah.
One of the little nifty things you can teach here to show marketing now to the client is say, look, that we want to create this because we've got our podcast, the Email Marketing Show, right? And we used to think we'll create a podcast. It's like 100 and something episodes in now. And before that, we had another podcast that got to 100 episodes before we decided to niche it down. But we used to think that naively, we'll create a podcast. And we've been doing marketing for a long time, but we still naively thought we'll create a podcast. It'll grow a massive audience of listeners. We'll send those people across to our email list. And then we'll do the bit we're good at, which is selling them stuff with email. And then that's the business taken care of. They'll come in and we'll continue to email them. And that's that. And we sort of thought that that's like, well, then they'll come in and we'll shut the door to the podcast and lock it, rather than thinking that actually the podcast is the thing that continues to serve and nurture that audience. So if you teach it to them at the moment, like you've got a blog and it might be great, I'm writing it for you, so it's definitely great, and it might be ranking on page one of Google and people are coming in. But if you point out the fact that actually people are coming in and they're bouncing, or they're coming in, they're joining your email list, and then you're ghosting them almost completely, apart from like a monthly newsletter every month, because most people never get around to it. Like you're not keeping this ecosystem going, you know. Whereas if you can share that people come in, they come in through the blog content and the stuff that you're doing. They come in, they join your list. And when you've got a new blog post that I write for you, you then email them back to the blog post, and it continues to deepen this relationship much further than just sending them emails.
And here's an important thing. When they're on your email list, we need to be sending them to stuff. We need to be training subscribers to click. There's a bunch of reasons for that, right? And this is another bit of knowledge you can share with your prospective clients and that you should use to really show your value as a writer. If people are not clicking the links in your emails, that means you're training them to not click the links in their emails. We are all creatures of habit, right? And what we do on a subconscious level is we subconsciously remember how different activities make us feel. So the reason I'm never going to try Marmite again is because I remember how it made me feel when I tried Marmite. That's the reason. So if everyone, every time someone gets an email from you and they click a link, and when they get to the other side of that link, that page, it's a really good bit of value you've written, a really good bit of content, they're going to feel good. So when it comes time to promote something for your client in an email, their subscribers are much more likely to click the link to take a look at the thing because they're in the habit of remembering, oh, every time I click a link that comes from an email from Janine, I feel good about it. I get value from it. And that'll be the same. So we have to focus on getting the clicks. The other reason is, since Apple iOS 15, all that time ago, launched out, open rate reporting is completely broken. They've broken it, and it's pretty much irreversible. Open rate reporting doesn't work anymore. So when clients are saying, what's a good open rate? What's a good percentage open rate? Don't know, honestly, because Apple now marks everything as open. And just to add fuel to that fire, Android devices, some of them, mark them all as unopen. So across everything, it's all broken. Whereas click-throughs, we can actually measure. So that's a marketing metric you can give to your client to prove your value. And when you prove your value, what happens is they retain you and you can put your rates up as time goes on because you're able to prove, hey, every time we send one of my emails, we get this many people coming to your website. You know that. You can show a measurable ROI to a client, which is what they want ultimately, right?
For sure. Now, speaking of like all those iOS changes and whatnot, I do notice a lot of time spam, you know, everything's marked as spam that it didn't used to be marked as spam. Do you guys have any, even if you opt into it, I feel like something still go to spam. Is there any tips you guys have for that?
Yeah. So the spam thing is interesting and it's way more vastly complex than a lot of people give it credit for. So a lot of people lump it down to two things. They lump it down to the email marketing platform you've got. So like people say, I'm with this email marketing platform, but a lot of my emails are going to spam. Should I move to a different one or which one should I move to? Presumptively assuming that's going to fix it. Or they think that it's down to like the words that you use or putting images in or making the emails too long or too short. And I've seen people say, oh, and the emails are too long and they go to spam. I've seen other people say, oh, when your emails are too short, they go to spam, right? None of that really matters. So a couple of things on the email platform. First of all, if they're one of the major platforms, like they're a proper business, you've got a team doing it, they're not some little, you know, backstreet affair. Generally speaking, all of their delivery is about as good as each other. They have good times, they have bad times. Sometimes they'll have specific fallouts with particular hosts. So like not that long ago, a few of them had a real problem delivering to Yahoo emails, Yahoo-owned emails, which is a lot more than you might think. I think it's like 59,000 domains or something are like a part of the Yahoo network. It's an really obnoxious number. Yeah. So like that was a problem. So most of the time, moving from one platform to another for deliverability, is not going to work. That's not going to make much difference. The second thing is the stuff you put in your emails doesn't make a lot of difference either. So it all really comes down to how well you manage the engagement of your list. It's almost entirely down to the engagement with the list. And this is another reason why emailing, and this is again, another sales tactic in terms of telling people why they should pay you to write their emails for them, is that if you email once a week with a newsletter, your chances of going to the spam folder ratchet up phenomenally. Because you're not giving the email marketing platforms enough data to assess what to do with your emails, and therefore they don't know what to do with them. So for example, let's imagine, I know open rates are wrong, but let's imagine that in reality, 40% of people are opening an email when you send it. So you said your client sends an email and 40% of their list open it, and they don't know what that percentage is, but that's the actual number, let's say. What that means is that 60%, if there's 1,000 people, that means that 400 people opened the email, 600 people didn't. And what happens is Gmail and Yahoo and Verizon and AOL and all those platforms, they look at those 400 people who open an email and they sort of judge it on the clicks and the opens and that kind of thing. And they go, okay, fair enough. That's that. And then a week later, you send it again. You're only really giving them 52 chances a year to like figure out what to do with your emails. It's one of the reasons why in our agency, we only send a minimum of 3 emails a week. If you want to do the retainer monthly, we'll take care of your emails thing. The minimum package we offer is 3 emails a week. Because anything less than that, we're not going to get the result they're really looking for. They're going to have problems. It's not going to be as effective. It's just not going to be as good. So what happens is What you want to do is make sure you're emailing regularly, minimum of 3 times a week. And you want to make sure that every single one of your emails has links in it. And it's a little bit like your credit score. So when you're fresh out of school or college or uni or whatever, you don't really have much in the way of a credit score because you haven't proven that you can do it. They'll give you a tiny bit of credit that you can take and like go and spend. And then if you don't pay it back, you immediately start to get bad points in your credit score. Whereas if you immediately pay it back, they might give you a little bit more, and then you use that and you pay it back on time, and then they might give you a little bit more, and slowly over time, in theory, your credit score creeps up. Your email deliverability thing works exactly the same way. We email our list every single day, 365 days of the year. 100% of our emails have at least one thing they can click in them. And our delivery score, according to a delivery platform that we use, is 100 out of 100. And it has been for well over 18 months now, purely because of this kind of process. So what you really want to do is, the answer is, if somebody opts into your list for like a lead magnet or something, or somebody opts into your client's list for a lead magnet, that first email, it's a bit of a gamble, whether it's going to land in the promotions tab, the spam folder, the inbox, a bit of a gamble. Your job is to use the rest of your marketing, like funnels and that, to go and get them to find that email and put it back in their inbox. And over time, if you get a high level of engagement consistently, your deliverability score will creep up and up and up. But it really comes down to managing the engagement and getting rid of the people who are duds and don't reply anymore, much more than it is about that. Now, the good news is the solution to that for your clients is a welcome campaign that gets good engagement to begin with, because the delivery thing falls down into 4 places. And one of them is, how many of your subscribers, new subscribers, engage with your emails in the first 14 to 30 days? That's really important. Well, if you have 4 emails in a welcome sequence, you've just given them 4 times the chance if you have 1 welcome email. So that's really cool. And the other bit you can sell them is the revival re-engagement campaign, which is what happens when people disengage and you've got to like try and warm them back up or get rid of them. And a lot of the time that means get rid of them. That's okay too. Those two things are actually going to save their email list from falling apart. So that's a really good thing to be able to sell them in order to fix that problem.
I also hear like images. Do they say to not use images a lot in email anymore?
It's interesting. I mean,
that can go either way.
It can go either way. It's one of the points, like if you were doing everything else right, you had an image in there, it's fine. Mm-hmm. A couple of things to think about with images though. One of them is if they're huge, obviously it's going to take ages to download. So that's not a good experience. The other thing is actually images reduce your ability to communicate. J.K. Rowling didn't get into, you know, one episode of the one edition of the Harry Potter books and go, oh, I'll just put a picture in. Right. And this is a good reason, because people who engage their imaginations in your stories or whatever, they get much more emotionally charged, right? Even we've told people who are even e-commerce clients, we don't do a lot with e-commerce, but people who are selling handmade jewelry, visual stuff, cakes, that kind of thing, they removed pictures from their emails and instead described things and said, click the link to go and check it out. That's a really good reason. As you said, clicking the link's really, really super important.
How many times have you heard about like a famous book or a series of books that's been out, like the Harry Potter ones, right? Where the books were out for years before they eventually turned it into a film. Then they made it a film, and rave fans who like wept over the book launches and stuff went to watch the film and they went, no, that wasn't what Derek looked like. That wasn't what Derek looked like in my head. Right. You hear this happen.
It's
right?
So true. I mean, I do it for myself. I always read the book before the movie, and I watch a movie. I'm like, oh man, they did not get what I thought they were going to do. No, or the exactly. Actor, like you said, it didn't look like that person.
So that makes a difference. So in terms of like the emails, our job for the emails, as Kennedy implied, is to get them to the sales page and let the sales page do the selling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So we got a couple minutes.
The email. It's going to be great. A lot of people reply to our emails telling us we're that person. They love reading our emails. They're funny. They're whimsical. They're inspiring. And they're helpful. But there are other people we all get emails from, the energy company. We see their name and we go, I don't care what that is. I'm never opening it. I don't care. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be a lie. It's going to be whatever. So if you work on your reputation with your readers, that is what is going to get your emails opened. So with all that said, I know we're out of time. Is it okay if I share this resource with everybody?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were talking about, people have been asking about, how do I get more clicks from the emails? How do I get that for my clients? How do I get it for myself, my own emails, right? The thing is, link blindness is a thing. If you just like always write, click here, then people are going to stop seeing that. It needs to be fresh and exciting. And we know this, right? So we've got a book, a little booklet called Click Tricks, which is 12 different ways of dressing up your links so you can get more clicks from the very next email you send and make them all really different. And we've put it up, we've hooked you up for free for it. It's over at emailmarketingheroes.com/nurse. emailmarketingheroes.com/nurse. It's there for you, exclusively for being in this world. It's completely free. The only cost to you is you're going to join our email list, all right? And you get to see us do the welcome sequence. You get to see us do the emails. You get to see us do it. And of course, you can leave it anytime if you don't like it, obviously, right? So emailmarketingheroes.com/nurse for those. It's called Click Tricks. I think you'll genuinely, all jokes aside, I think you'll really get a lot out of it.
No, that is so helpful. And I love it. I'm going to sign up for it myself. I want to see what you guys are doing over there. And awesome. I like the way that that kind of wrapped everything up. But otherwise, I seriously appreciate you two coming on, sharing all this knowledge for 90 minutes. That's a huge chunk of anybody's day who's a business owner. So thank you so much. And say, share everything about you guys. Like, where can everybody find you, your social links, all that, so we can definitely share it over on the podcast as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have our podcast, of course, The Email Marketing Show. Just go to wherever you get your podcast from. It's on everything. Search for The Email Marketing Show. It's an episode every Wednesday where it's us and sometimes a guest talking about fun, crazy things to do with email marketing. So that's really cool. We also have our free Facebook group, The Email Marketing Show Community. You can just go to Facebook, search for The Email Marketing Show Community. I think it's like more than 3,000 people in there now, all chatting about email marketing on a daily basis and that kind of thing. That's awesome. Yeah, 3,500 members. I think that's everything.
Awesome. I'm asking if they got some value. Yes. Thanks for all the info. Thank you over at Facebook. And then Lexus says, thanks so much. This is amazing, super valuable. So I think everyone liked it, guys.
Awesome, good.
So thank you again. We'll talk soon. I will definitely let you guys know when this goes live. Like I said, I'm probably going to break it up a little bit to make it some value tips for everybody, get you guys some more listeners, and definitely drive more people to your Facebook group and your email list. So thank you again.
Thanks,
James.
You're welcome. Keep in touch. We'll talk soon.
Again, thank you for listening. If you're ready to explore freelance writing as your next PRN job or even full-time, I invite you to check out our Savvy Nurse Writer community on Facebook and visit SavvyNurseWriter.com to help you get started today.